With the Lord's gracious help, we will continue in our thoughts upon the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1, 2, and the first part of verse 3. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. These words may well refer to the time of the Babylonish captivity, when the people of God, through their sins and rebellion against the Most High, the Lord's patience ran out, and they were taken by a great army and carried away into the land of Assyria. But Cyrus was raised up of God, and Jeremiah speaks of this in prophecy, to let the people of God go, that they might return again unto the promised land. Now, a remnant of the people did go, but some stayed behind. Those that had settled down in the worldly affairs of that nation. But those that loved the Lord and desired his ways, they would turn again unto the Lord their God. Now the comforting words in verse 1 of this chapter are surely for the people of God. And perhaps we have established that these are the redeemed of the Lord. These are those that are called by free and sovereign grace, having nothing in themselves about sin and shame. But the Lord has an eye of compassion toward them, and will have mercy upon their never dying souls, and deliver them from the wrath that is to come. And they are his peculiar treasure. He identifies them as his people, the plants of the Lord's right hand planting, the lot of his inheritance, the children that are born unto him. These then are they which have come to know the Lord's tender compassion toward them, and their faith is strengthened that they might pursue the course that God has given unto them. Nevertheless, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, and the child of God is not separated from those troubles. But there is a great point to be made here. Trials come upon all men, but trials upon the wicked are part of the judgment begun upon this earth, which will be continued through a never-ending eternity of misery. Whereas the punishment that is meted out against God's people is for their good. It is to restore them to health and to strength. Now, I want you to notice the words very carefully, because it says in verse 2, when thou passest through the waters. And it's a great encouragement to every child of God, when they first come to a knowledge of him, to know that his tender care is ever toward them. that as the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, the Lord's presence was with them, so he will be with all his saints to the end of their days, and then transport them into the land of glory. And so it means that the people of God are not to remain in their troubles forever. There is a happy release. It may be after a short season. It may be after a protracted time. It may be by the hand of death that all their discomforts and all their sorrows are taken from them. But whatever way, the Lord brings his people safely through. Because he gives them a promise. I will be with thee. And you'll notice in a number of places in the scriptures, we have these glorious I wills of Jehovah. Well, we know upon this earth, now that we may have a loved one or a best friend, and they will care for us and help us, but sometimes they're prevented. Sometimes sickness in themselves prevents them from helping their partners or their loved ones. There is a weakness in the flesh. Sometimes there is a forgetfulness, that we forget to do those things which we promise to do. But let us remember, there is no forgetfulness with God. What he has determined will most certainly come to pass. The promises in Christ Jesus are forever sure. They are yea and they are amen. He who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, will ensure that everything, every purpose is conducted as he has promised. Now, again, the children of Israel are a wonderful example unto every age and generation of God's dealings with his people. I will be with thee. Can we say of the children of Israel that God entered into a time when he was not with them? Did he cast them off? Did he remember them no more? We find that they were a rebellious, a hard-hearted, an unbelieving people. But nevertheless, the Lord determined to bring them out of Egypt with a high and mighty hand, bring them through the wilderness of sin into the Canaan of promise. And if you read through the scriptures, this is exactly what came to pass. But in more particular way, his presence was known with them in that cloudy pillar by day and the fiery pillar by night. God's presence was known in those effects. And so the people knew that God was with them. We have that sweet assurance that God has promised that he will be with us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is a promise given to the newborn child of God, that the Lord will ever be with them, to uphold, to maintain, to preserve, and to keep them all their journey through. And the Lord knows how long or short that journey might be. He knows what difficulties may ensnare them in the way. He knows everything about every minute circumstance of their lives. Does he not say the very hairs of your head are all numbered? I will be with thee. That doesn't mean, of course, that we shall always understand his presence with us. In the chapter that I read to you, Lamentations, there the prophet complains in verse 8, He says, also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. And this is very similar to the experience of Job in Job 23, when he looked for God and couldn't find him. And he said, I go this way and that way, but he's not there. But nevertheless, he had that in his heart and in his mind, that he knows the way that I'm taking. Although I can't see him, he can see me. And in those darkest moments in the life of a believer, when he feels to be absolutely alone, that no help is afforded him, that he's in the darkness of gloom and despair, the Lord knows. The Lord knows everything that he is passing through. And again, let me emphasize this. He is passing through these things. They're not designed to bring him to oblivion. They're not designed for his hurt, but for his help. And he may well come to a place where he can see the goodness of God in bringing him into that trial or temptation or fear or difficulty or affliction or sorrow or whatever it might have been. God has a purpose. When the Lord would tempt or try Abraham, how great a thing he laid upon him to sacrifice his son, the son of promise, the son whom God had said would be the leader of many people. And so it would seem to all come to an end. But Abraham believed God. He believed God that he was able to raise him from the dead, if that were his way. But of course, we know the outcome, that Isaac was not put to death. A substitution was made. One stood in his place and was sacrificed on his behalf. And God was well satisfied with the faith of Abraham. Well, our faith has to be tried. We don't know that we have faith unless it is tried. And sometimes in the trial of our faith, we seem to utterly fail. All comes to confusion. And we think, well, if only I had faith, then I would have done this or that or something different. But the fact is that the Lord knows our strengths and our weaknesses. And as we said before, the Lord saw us in our ruined state and condition. He knew exactly what was in our hearts. He knew all our weaknesses and our failings, our up down sittings and our uprising. He knew us altogether exactly as we are. He's not surprised by our actions. He knows our ways. He knows the secret of our very hearts, and therefore he is able to bring us into those things which will, in his due time and process, establish us in that faith, build up our faith, strengthen us by his blessed Spirit, that having been brought safely through, we may say, the Lord is our helper. We will not fear what man shall do unto us. Now, in the second verse, we are given four definitions. When we pass through the waters, through the rivers, when we walk through the fire, and through the flames, they shall not kindle upon us. These are all descriptive of difficulties in the lives of a true believer. Now, both water and fire are elements which are exceedingly beneficial. If you think of some of the very hot countries, the Middle East, water is the great necessity of life, and without water, man must surely die. But where there's a great effusion of water, where there are torrents, and we might think of this, the children of Israel passing through the Red Sea upon dry land, and the Egyptians are saying to do the same, were drowned when the waters returned. What great force must have come upon them to sweep them literally off their feet and to drown them in those waters. So we have a dual aspect, as it were, to the words that are given here. And here we think of the waters in their great power, in their sometimes destructive power. Sometimes a person swept overboard is unable to retrieve himself and is swept away. So water can have a tremendous force, and it can have a great effect upon men and women. But the great assurance here is that whatever those waters may be, the Lord is with us in them. I remember going down into Missouri and was taken to where the River Missouri met the great river, and these two rivers came together, and we wanted to see where the Missouri and the Mississippi joined one another. But there have been great floods, and the whole ground around the area for a great extent was completely flooded, and we were unable to see. But we did see something of the force of that water and how it was unstoppable. Those defences which had been put up for restraining the water had been overwhelmed, and nothing was able to restrain the force of the waters at that time. When thou passest through the waters, there may be some here that are in trouble, some of the Lord's people who know what trouble is, who've passed through events before. But let us be assured of this, that it does not say if you pass through the waters, or maybe you might pass through the waters. It's when. There is a time to be exercised by the hand of God. There is a time to come under God's chastening hand. Chastening hand for correction, for reproof, or that we might learn more clearly the ways of God, that we may come to know Him and His divine power, that we may be made tender in His fear and have our due regard and respect for Him. These waters then overflow. And Jeremiah in that lamentation speaks of the waters over his head, and yet he was restored. We think of Jonah in the belly of the great fish, there coming down to the base of the mountains, so very deep. The waters, of course, around him, the weeds wrapped around his head. What misery he must have felt. But it was God's disciplinary action. It was for his good. It was that the prophet might learn from his experience. And when the great fish threw him up upon the shore, then Jonah knew that it was the Lord. He knew far more clearly than ever he had known before. And does not the Lord have a design in every trial and every difficulty that we come into? Tribulation worketh patience, but tribulation must be worked out, and we must come into various things. You know, we come from different directions. We don't all pass through the same troubles at the same time. But it was interesting to me, driving over to Missoula, we cross over a river on numerous occasions. It wends backwards and forwards, so we have to pass over it time and again. And it may be in your experience that the Lord brings you into some difficulty, and as soon as you feel to be delivered from it, you come into that same difficulty again. And the Lord will bring you through a series of the same kind of temptation or trial or fear, that he might exercise your heart and mind to bring you to a greater knowledge of himself, that you might walk in his ways, that you may be enabled to say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But to know the Lord's presence with us, this takes away all the pain and all the difficulty. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Some of the Lord's people are left as objects of ridicule to the devil. The devil tempts them and tries them and teases them mercilessly. And they are the butt of his venom. How he seeks in which whatever way to destroy them, to bring them to nothing, to cast them down that they should not rise up again. And how could we continue if we were to enter this alone? If we were to have to tread this pathway without any help? You know, it's a great advantage at times, whether we're in trouble or distress, whether we're sick or afflicted, for a friend to come and speak to us. Now there's times when we come into great tribulation, like Job of old, when all those things came upon him, Job sat down, and his friends came, and for 7 days they were silent. The man needed time to grieve over his condition. It was a religious exercise. It was a divine place. And although to the flesh exceedingly uncomfortable, yet to the spirit it was good, because he maintained his lot. Remember that Job never cursed God and died. He held his integrity throughout all these difficult times, not only the afflictions that came upon him from the loss of his family and his livelihood, his substance and everything that he had, his wife speaking against him, his 3 friends questioning his veracity. But in all that God brought upon him, Job excelled. And the reason why he excelled, God was with him. Although he didn't always feel God's presence, didn't always know that God was near, yet he knew the character of the one with whom he had to do. And this is why we insist upon a real conversion. Because when a person is truly converted, they come to know something of the work of God. The work of God in their heart and upon their character, to alter them and to change their ways. And they come to the understanding, This is the Lord that has done this. It's no superficial matter. It's nothing that man has done. It's not some change that I decided to make for myself. No, there was a reality in it. And with that reality, we come to know something of God. And once that conversion has taken place, and there is a union of spirit with God, and that our prayers go up unto him, and answers to our prayers come from him, then we commune with the Most High. Then we learn more of him, more of his righteous character, of his great goodness, of his tender compassion, of his wonderful mercy. We learn to trust him and to obey him, and to do his will and his bidding. But these trials are apt to knock us, as it were, off our course. It's like a cyclist driving down an uneven path, and there suddenly a rock throws him off his cycle, and there he feels the pain of the hurt. But the Lord exercises the hearts and minds of his people, not for their sorrow, but for their good, for their benefit. And we may not at the beginning of our exercises understand the mind of God in these things. Because sometimes troubles will come all of a sudden. They take us by surprise. We had not expected them. Troubles come upon us, and we cannot stop them. We cannot prevent them. If we knew that they were coming, we might have avoided them. But we didn't know. And therefore, they come with great force upon us and are apt to carry us away. But the Lord will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able. But with the temptation, he will make a way. Now I want to set before you this truth. That God's people sometimes do fall. They sometimes are found unbelieving. Sometimes they're found cold and hard-hearted. Sometimes they fall into open sin. David and Peter are examples of that. And many of the Lord's people have been left to fall. But that fall was not to their damnation. That fall God purposed to quell their spirit, to hurt their pride, to bring them low to the feet of Jesus, to bring them closer unto him, to show them their utter dependency upon him. Or a man in the pride of his heart can say, well, I shall stand. Others may be gullible and fall at the suggestions of the wicked one, but I shall stand, and I will stand secure, because I have such faith in God that nothing can touch me. Oh, what a fool. Doesn't know the secret of his own heart. Doesn't know his utter weakness. And these the devil loves to play upon and to bring his troubles hard upon them. And sometimes we have to learn hard lessons. These great difficulties come upon us, and we know not how to deal with them. We know not which way to go, to the left hand or to the right hand, to go forward or to go back. I am with thee. And if the Lord is with us, then we can put our case toward him. And although he may not immediately answer, yet he will in due time. And he never is too late for the needs of his people. He'll never leave a soul that he has chosen in the furnace of affliction to be burnt in the fire. Think of the three Hebrew children. They trusted in God. They believed that the Lord would be their preserver. And if not, they believed in the resurrection of the dead, that they would come into his presence. And so when they were cast into the burning fiery furnace, which was heated seven times more than it should have been, we find them walking in the midst of the flames. The flames had not touched them. The fire had not burnt them. Not a hair of their head has been singed. But think of this, that there was one walking with them. I will be with thee. I will be with thee. And that one was like unto the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in pre-incarnation form. There was walking with his faithful servants. He hadn't left them to be destroyed. He, in a miraculous way, had preserved them. And they were brought forth out of that fiery furnace, and their enemies were cast in and burnt immediately. Those that trust in the Lord will find that their trust is not misplaced. Our folly and our shame is that we do not trust in him sufficiently. We think that we can do for ourselves, or we can look to the arm of flesh to help us, as Israel so often did. They looked to Egypt, they looked to other places, rather than trusting in God. If they had trusted in God, they would have saved themselves so many difficulties. And so will you, child of God. If you're one of the Lord's people, then to trust in him will preserve you from many dangers, many difficulties, many trials, and many fears. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. We live in a different age to the words that are written here. The travelers in Zion had to walk upon foot, and they had rivers to pass over. And sometimes those rivers, when they were in flood, were impassable. They were too deep. And even the strongest of swimmers would be swept away. There may be things that come into your lives which to you are a complete impossibility. That you cannot see a way around it. You cannot see a way out of it. What can you do? There's none that can help you. Perhaps a man who's been rich has suddenly come into poverty, and no one has the resources to help him. None of his friends have the riches to supply for him. When we're in the depth of trouble, we have the greatest need of prayer. Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will hear thee. What a mercy that God hears us in the very depths of our need. In the very time when we can say, other refuge have I none. We can look to Jesus. We can look to him for help. He is the helper of the helpless. He delights to help those that are dependent upon him. The proud he sees afar off, but the humble soul he draws near unto. Do we know what it is? In our troubles, to first call upon the name of the Lord. Sometimes we're so foolish, we forget to pray. We look for other resources, other helpers. But then, when all these things fail us, it is our last recourse to turn to the great helper of his people, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a friend in need, and a friend indeed. They shall not overflow thee. You'll come safely through. Now, when the children of Israel came to the promised land, the river Jordan was in flood. It was impassable. So the river of death will be to many of the Lord's people, that which in their fear and distress is impassable. Their sins may come before their face. Their hard-heartedness and their unbelief may assail them. Many a child of God has been so vexed and tempted of the devil to wonder if they have any real religion at all. But when thou passest through the rivers, I will be with thee. And you see, the Lord made a way. The priests had to take the Ark of the Covenant and enter into the waters. And the waters subsided, and the children of Israel were able to pass over into that promised land. When thou walkest through the fire, when thou walkest through the fire, there may be difficulties which are not so great, but they're very vexing. Things which seem to trouble us, although they may be in and of themselves relatively small things, yet having to face them day by day or to pass through them day by day, they are greatly discouraging. It may be some affliction that takes hold of our body, and we feel the weakness of that affliction. This fiery trial which comes upon us takes all our strength, and we know not how to continue. But the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He is our strength in the midst of our weakness. We prove his grace sufficient for us, his strength made perfect in our weakness, that we're able to continue despite that the scene has not changed, the troubles remain, yet fresh courage is put within us, that we still press on, and press on despite these things. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. There are some great things that some of the children of God have to pass through in their lives, that they feel that these things will destroy them. Opposition, persecution, troubles of so great a nature, they feel they will destroy them. The flame appears to be so hot that how can they escape? When the Lord says, when thou passest through these things, he will be with thee. He will help thee. He will uphold thee. He will maintain thee. He will strengthen thee. What a mercy that we have a God to whom we can go. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we? Who are we, incidental creatures, that God should take knowledge of us? Is it reasonable that this great God, the creator of the millions and billions upon the face of the earth, should be mindful of some poor, sinful worm? But it is so. The Lord of hosts is with us. He is mindful of us. He will not deny us in our greatest need. And we need not fear how great the troubles may be. The Lord has a way, and he has determined to bring us safely through to glory, that we might be forever with the Lord. So we are reminded in the first part of verse 3, whom God is, for I am the Lord. And again, this word, I am, we find a number of times through the scriptures. He is the Almighty. He is the eternal God, the creator and maker of all things. He is eternal in the heavens, and he has all power and authority over all things. We read in the book of Psalms how foolish man is when he seeks to go against God. You know, there are many today that think they can get one over upon God. But God says this, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What is the answer? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. These mighty men, so called, these great authorities that have been lifted up in the earth, where are they today? And those that are exercising their great power over men and women, their day will come when the Lord will laugh at their calamity, when cast into the midst of the fiery hell that he has designed for them. There he will see their misery and their shame. But the Lord's people will never come into condemnation. The Lord will be with them, for he is the Lord. He is the mighty one. He is the one that works wonders. He worked wonders in Israel, and he's the same God today. And look at this. I am the Lord, thy God. Yes, he was the God of the Jews, but he's the God of his own peculiar people, those whom were chosen in Christ before the world began. He owns them as his own. I am thy God. And we are to worship this God, who is the Holy One of Israel. Holiness is his very name, his very character. Thy Saviour. He saves from sin and death and destruction. He saves from hell. This is a people he has redeemed. He has saved them. They are safe then. If the mighty hands of God are underneath, how can they fall through? He is their helper and their guide, and he will be their eternal comforter. Let me say again, is this God our God? Can we say with one of old, this God is our God forever and ever, he will be our guide even unto death? When will we serve him? When will we show our colours? When will we follow his ways? When will we show unto others that we are one of the Lord's. Oh, may that time quickly come when there may be that great decision that God has decided on the time of their deliverance. And each one will say, saved by the mighty hand of God. It is a blessed place to be, to know the salvation of our Lord, which he will accomplish this day. Oh, may it be so. May the Lord be pleased to pour out his Spirit upon this poor preaching, but upon his own word that has been proclaimed unto you. This is the word of God. The Lord is able to bless it. The Lord will bless it. May he bless it today. Amen.